this past Thursday, I received a text message from one of my African-American friends, a black pastor there in Corinth named Kim Ratliff. Kim is a public servant. He's a public election commissioner there in Alcorn County. He also works for the city of Corinth and is a great unifier of people from all different backgrounds, cultures, races, economic statuses. He's just a man of God and filled with love. In Kim's text, he asked me, he said, "I'm reaching out to all of my pastors and brothers and sisters of faith to be prayerful for a peaceful service we're going to have Friday and Saturday. Friday at the Alcorn County Courthouse, Saturday at one of our local parks. A peaceful service of healing for the hurt that's being felt as a result of the tension, the racial tensions, and the hate that's engulfed much of our nation." I wrote back to Kim, and I said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to be out of town, but I'll certainly be prayerful and supporting you all." And I said to Kim, "As a white man, I cannot begin to understand the pain that racism has caused to people of color throughout the centuries in this nation. But as one commissioned by God to love all people, I can say, as much as I strive to understand that when someone I love hurts, I hurt too." You know, as we think about these times, as we've mentioned, of great anxiety, of great challenge, I wanted to reflect today on this scripture called the Great Commission, maybe in a way that many of us never have before. In this text that Matthew has written for us, the words can become so familiar that it's easy for us to overlook a deeper meaning or the true purpose of the writing of Matthew, the gospel writer. In this text, which we have received for many years with our English translations and different interpretations to make it read more fluidly, more helpful, that certainly inspires and moves us to a better understanding of the text. But also, if we're not careful, some of the message can get lost from the original Greek as it was written. For example, in our text today, the last two verses of this Gospel of Matthew, the last three, 18 through 20, the word "all" is recorded four times. Every time in the Greek that Jesus speaks in this text, he engulfs that sentence with the word "all." He begins by saying, "All authority on in heaven and on earth has been given to me to make disciples of all nations." And then after he says that all authority has been given to me to embrace all nations, all people, all races, all cultures, he says, what do we embrace them with? All the commandments that I've taught you. And then finally, Jesus says in this last proclamation before ascending into heaven and leaving this world for us to minister to, he says, "I will be with you all the days until the end of time." So as we reflect today on this word "all," as we search for meaning in these trying times, in the racism and hate that's plagued many in our society, many who we're called to embrace as brothers and sisters, I wonder if we can hear this text with fresh ears as Jesus speaks to us. How do we respond to these challenging times of separation in our land? as Jesus began those words, he said to us, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Friends, that reminds me, as a person of faith, where I get my marching orders. Who do I respond to as the authority in these troubling times? Who do I listen to? It inspires me to be persistent in turning from the political pundits and those who inflame division and passion and have quite literally their own agendas that they're trying to push. No, you see, the authority, dear friends, is not the political pundits. Our political opinions, our positions, that's not the authority to guide our response to racism and hate and division in our country. No, our scripture tells us that Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the authority that should march and guide our response to create unity and to separate us from the division and hate that causes dissension. So as scripture says to us, as Jesus proclaims, "All authority is given to me," what exactly is the authority that Jesus teaches us about these challenging times to embrace all people? You see, that's the next statement that Jesus says in the commission. Not only does he say, "All authority is mine," but "all nations are my people." You see, this is such a transformative statement by our Lord Jesus, because in this time in the first century, it was a time of separation. The Jewish people, in many ways, did not separate with the Gentiles. Even the Samaritans, who were biracial divisions that were made up of people with Jewish roots and Gentile roots, the Jewish people saw themselves, many of their leadership, as the only chosen people, a separation from the others. Jesus came into this world. His last message to people of faith was that Almighty God came that we may embrace all people as children of God. He said, "Go, make disciples of all nations." You see, I'm challenged in the words of this scripture where Jesus says we're not simply to claim salvation in Almighty God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, we are also to become disciples of Jesus. In other words, to walk in His ways as we serve this world through His love for His glory, embracing all as brothers and sisters. Until we do that, friend, until we're encouraged to look on every person as our neighbor, a child of God, hate and division will continue to plague our land and even our faith. Jesus continues in our text by saying, not only are we to embrace all people as children of God, but He tells us how we are to embrace them. He says, "Teach them to obey all things I have commanded." Friends, when we search the scripture of Jesus' teachings, whether it be the Sermon on the Mount or His teaching with His disciples in John as He prepared to leave this earth, one of the unifying statements of Jesus' commandments is found in Matthew 22, where He says this. When He's asked by someone, "What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? If you tell us to follow in Your ways, to follow in Your commandments, what's most important?" Jesus answered that question in Matthew 22 with this. "The first and greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments," Jesus said, hangs all the law and the prophets. Friends, I'm a simple-minded person. I'm grateful that our Lord's love for us is so mysterious that the greatest theological minds can't understand all the mystery. But the simplest child can understand this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not only does Jesus love us, but He just shared with us in Scripture that our primary call of following Him as disciples, of living out our faith, is to love the other, regardless of race, culture, community, location. They are children of God. You see, friends, I'm convinced that's the way we respond as the church. To conquer division and hate in our land, we are to be the voices, not the political pundits on TV. We don't respond with attacks. We respond with conversations and love for all of creation. That's the only hope. That's the only hope that Jesus brought to this earth, even as He fought challenges, lies, separation, dissension. He never relented in loving all people, even those from whom He disagreed and differed. And finally, Jesus says this. He says that I will be with you all the time. You know, I'm reminded in the words of Jesus a couple of things there. He's going to strengthen us in our pursuit and our desire as Christians to be part of the solution instead of the problem in our world, to be part of the unity instead of the division, to be part of the hope instead of part of the hate. But here I also receive another challenge from Jesus, that not only is He with us all the time, but we should be with Jesus all the time. Here's what I mean. Let me close this sermon today by saying, as I shared with you at the beginning, my friend Kim Ratliff invited me to a peace gathering this Friday in Corinth. And as I reflected upon Ken's invitation, I shared with him that I was going to be out of town. I couldn't attend. But friends, as I looked on Facebook yesterday and saw the photos from that wonderful celebration, where it was equally divided, it seemed, by white people and black people. People with shirts that had Black Lives Matter. People with shirts and appeals that says only love wins. People united in a commitment to love that was greater than the things they disagreed about. You know, I felt some lamenting that I couldn't be there with my friend Kim. And as I reflected on it yesterday, I thought it simply wasn't convenient for me to be there. But did you hear in our text today where Jesus challenges us to live out His love even when it's not convenient? Did you hear how our text ends? He said, I'm with you all the time, and I call you, church, to be me to our world all the time, even when it's not convenient. So, dear friends, I saw this morning that my hometown where I serve as pastor in Ripley is having a peace-filled celebration today at the city park. I intend to be there. I intend to be there to support love, unity, hope, and the perseverance of Jesus Christ over anything that divides us. It won't be convenient for me to be there. But I want to stand with this community leadership in saying that through the love of Christ, we can be part of the solution. So I end you today with this commission I'm making. How am I personally going to respond to make our world a better place? How am I personally going to change my behavior to take away the impact of racism and division? I'm going to embrace more fully the call of the Great Commission in our text today, where our Lord Jesus summarized it by saying this: we, as the church, Jody, you as my follower, are called to love all people, all the time, anywhere you are. Friends, that's my commission. As a child of God, as a follower of Christ, to live out His love daily for all of creation, embracing that commission, all people, all love, all the time, that God may be glorified and love may win. God bless you all. Let's pray. Oh God, as we search Your Spirit, how we as Your church can be part of Your solution in a broken world, may we know, oh God, that You are the guide. You are the one we should follow. In a time where we want to be heard, we want to proclaim, we want to express our passions, may we be more fervent to listen and embrace Your love as our guide for our faith. We pray for healing in our land. We lift up the broken, those who've been hurt, those who are grieving, those who are feeling economic, physical, and separation right now. Would You, O God, bring restoration to our land? Will You bring forth the voice of Your church as love and light into the darkness, that truly all people will know that You are the hope for our land, our love, and our joy? We pray for all of Your churches that minister in Your name, O God. Will You guide them, inspire them, and strengthen them? Will You be with our president, our senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court, all who hold authority over others, O God? Will You help them to walk in the ways of Micah, to love justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly, O God, in Your ways? Will You be with the weak and the sick and the hurting and the hopeless? Will You bring restoration to all of these that we've mentioned here this day and the ones whose names go unmentioned? Will You, O God, lift up our families, our friends, our loved ones? We pray especially for those closest to us and those from whom we're estranged. Will You bring healing and wholeness, O God, even to the lives of our enemies? And help us, O God, to be Your church in a broken world so that we truly may help Your kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. And now, God, in the words of that prayer, we do indeed lift our voices as one as we say those words You taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God who is our Father, and the fellowship, peace, and passion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Y'all couldn't hear it?